Tune in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne Taylor King and Denise Stiegel, committed to guiding your journey through the world through mindfulness and personal care. These ladies are rebellious, real, funny, and powerful, helping you realize your full potential while navigating the twists and turns life always brings us. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody. I'm Diane McClay of The Diane McClay Show. Welcome to episode 6 in 2021. We are super excited. It's a beautiful day out, lots of journeys happening around the world, new air energy coming in. And I'm excited to talk to you today about how to create more balance in your life, how to choose people in your life that move you forward, and why it's important to make those choices and those foundations. My guest today is Alexis Moore Eiting, and she's a friend of mine. She is an assertive and confidence coach, the founder of the Confidence Society, and she specializes in empowering young women as they transition to college. Alexis, welcome in, all the way from New York.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for having me.
Awesome to have you in. You know, before we jumped on the show, we were talking about your specialty, which is really actually empowering young college-age women. But we were talking about how a lot of the lessons that you help young women learn as they're transitioning from high school into college and setting their own sovereignty and their own boundaries also can apply to middle-aged women. So talk a little bit about what is the Confidence Society. I feel like I want to sign up and get a membership right away. Tell us a little bit about what it is and why you brought that to life.
Yeah. I've always been complimented on my own confidence, and I wanted to share some skills with the world, but also empower young women in particular to really be assertive in their life and not be wobbly about it, and just feel like, yes, I deserve this. I want this. I'm going to ask for this, and I'm going to fight for it. And I'm going to be elegant doing it, I think is one of my passions is elegance, but not everyone has to be elegant while they're doing it. But that confidence of like, yes, I have nothing to fear in asking for this, and independent skills in particularly, I feel like if you know how to back your own self up and you feel like you can support yourself, you can build these confidence with different skills.
Exactly. And, you know, you and I titled the show Choose Your People, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But Jim Rohn is a motivational speaker, and he talks about you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So speak a little bit about why Choose Your People really resonated with you when we were talking about titling the show. And how does it apply both to college age women and mid-level professional women in their workplace or in their communities?
Yeah, I specifically usually work with women going off to college, so teenagers heading to college who haven't had that experience of like not having a home environment or parents to kind of, you know, place judgments on all the people that they interact with. But when you're suddenly alone in college, then you have this opportunity to like choose whoever you want. And some of those people inspire you to make really good choices, and some of them inspire you to make maybe not so good choices. And also,
Hold on one second. We
got the sirens, right?
Yeah, let those sirens go by for just a second. Let them die out. There we go. Alexis just moved to New York, so anybody listening who's in the Pacific Northwest, that's what the city sounds like.
That's what the city sounds like. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Yeah, so you get to college and you get to choose people that you're spending time with and trusting those people. And I know I've talked to a lot of parents who are concerned about their daughters choosing people that are positive in their life and who are going to be safe. So one of my big things is choosing people who are safe in your life, who are going to treat you well, and who are going to take your well-being into consideration and not prioritize their own needs over yours. And that's something that not only young college women need, but also adult women and anybody in general. I think women in particular are more apt to pleasing other people and just being like, oh, I'll be your friend because you're nice. And you seem to want me in your life. And that desire from other people of, oh, I want you in my life, I want you to be here, doesn't necessarily mean that they're supporting you. And so you can get drawn into that, like, oh, I feel important while I'm around this person, but I'm also not a priority for them. They just tell me that I am. So that borderline, not so healthy, not so supportive relationships, and how to identify them and choose ones that resonate with you more.
You had a phrase, we'll show some pictures a little bit later in the show about some connections to nature and water, but you have a phrase about making sure that the people in your life are moving you forward towards your dreams, your aspirations, your goals. What would be some things that our listening audience, both college freshmen perhaps or middle-aged women, what are some things that they can identify where people are actively supporting them, or maybe so not so subtly not supporting them? How can we tell who moves us forward and who doesn't in our bodies or intellectually or emotionally?
Absolutely. I think one of the main things you can do is when the person that you're with is not giving you the feedback that you want or the support that you want, that you can express that to them and say, hey, I know you're kind of concerned about this choice that I'm making, but I'm really excited about it. Can you come along for the ride with me? And if they can do that for you, if they can like either explain where they're coming from and just like put their concerns on the ground, like out there, and then they can move on with you. If they can like go for the ride with you when you ask them, because I think not everyone's always going to be on your side, right? But if you can tell them, hey, I need this right now, and they can give it to you, and that's a big thing of they can support you in an adventure you're taking. And that, so that respect, they can respect your choices. You feel safe with them. You feel like you can be vulnerable. You can offer some concerns you have. You know, you don't always want everyone's advice, right? But that you could ask for their advice if, you know, you needed it.
Right.
That you trust them.
And so that safety and that trust, I mean, you and I've talked offline a little bit about where does that show up in our body. We've talked on other parts of our shows about really using your intuition, the words behind me for our listening audience are choice and courage. So using awareness to increase your perspectives and to then make a positive choice for yourself. So where for you does that safety and secure and healthy feeling show up in your body? And then how do our audience members kind of look for if they're not really in tune with that?
Yeah. So for me, it's like all in my chest. It's like all my heart is that safety feeling. I know people talk about their gut, you know, trusting their gut. I feel like for me, my gut tells me when things are dangerous. My gut tells me when things aren't quite right. But my heart will tell me when I'm just relaxed and happy. Like I get this warmth and this opening and kind of this like cozy feeling. Mm-hmm. In my chest. So for me, that's what happens, that I know I'm just like, oh, I'm here, I'm talking with you. And I feel like I honestly could say anything and you have my back. You might have an opinion, but you're going to be there for me. So that support, that unwavering respect for your choices and respect for the fact that we can have a conversation if there's a disagreement. Also that aspect of like, there can be conflict and you can come out of it. It can grow the relationship as opposed to totally, you just don't want anything to do with them anymore.
Right. And what would you say to either parents of young women or young women to their parents? What if somebody's trying to assert that that sense of place, that sense of sovereignty, but the other person doesn't quite get it, or they're trying to be supportive, but they're not really coming across as being that way? I can think of some friendships I've had in the past that really didn't work out quite so well.
Yeah.
How do people address that?
I feel like communication is where it's at, and clarity. And I know for myself, I have to like walk away from some things and go and do some writing in order to get really clear, or at least, or have a conversation with somebody else. I can't just in the moment, I'm not really good at coming up with the phrasing, right? But just being able to say, hey, you know what? I need a moment. Can we come back to this conversation? Because I feel like we both have really strong opinions but I love you and I want this to work out. So I think, you know, reiterating the fact that you care about this relationship and you want it to go somewhere, and trying to figure out what you need. I feel like a lot of times there's conflict around a particular event, like going out, you know, getting the laundry done or cleaning your room, when really it's, I just want to spend time with you and make sure that you're doing well, you know? And it's like, really, can we go out for coffee? I really just want to spend time with you. And I am putting all this pressure on you being the person that I think I want you to be, but really I just want a relationship. And so how do you have that relationship? Just getting specific and going past the first thing, because usually the first thing is not really what the conversation's about.
I would agree with that. And I want to come back to what you said about stepping away sometimes. You talk about teaching boundaries and sometimes stepping away and saying, hey, I need a little space. I need to process what you just said, or I don't know how I feel about that and I need to figure it out before I open my mouth. A lot of times, a lot of women in general don't actually retreat from the conversation. Sometimes we get so entrenched, like, this is my view and I need you to understand it, and I'm going to keep talking at you, not with you, until you acknowledge my point. And I think this is really critical when you start talking about creating safe space and creating boundaries, of actually using a tool of receding, backing away, and then getting some clarity on what it is that you need. So here's another question. If you don't know what you need, what are some things that you coach your clients on to identify what is the need at the moment that should be communicated? How do you help people find that need?
Yeah. So with my clients, we often have identified particular values that each person has at the beginning of our relationship, so I can kind of know what are the things that are really important to them. So usually it's something about that. I really value play, you know, and I'm like, I'm not getting to play in this relationship. It's really serious. I like to tease, and this is a relationship example of, like, I like to tease and you take it really personally, and that's not fun for me. And I understand not everyone likes to tease or can handle being teased, or maybe they don't like being teased about a particular subject, you know? And so being able to not just feel like, oh, this is conflict, and being like, oh, I'm not getting this need of wanting to play. Maybe I don't need to tease. Maybe we can, wrestle or something like that instead. Coming up with other solutions.
So knowing your values, creating some space, communicating, what else comes to mind to try to make sure that that young women going to college can set healthy relationships, whether it's romantic or friendship, and what adult women can do when they're trying to make sure that they don't lose who they are in their communities, in their churches, and their employments?
The thing that was coming up for me while we were talking is remembering that feedback doesn't have to be negative. And feedback doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Feedback is just that. It's feedback. It's optional. You don't have to do anything with it. You know, there might be consequences to not doing anything with it, but the reality is you don't have, like, it's not the end of the world. So I think a lot of conflict is about, like, not agreeing with the other person's feedback sometimes. And that's okay.
Right.
It's just okay. It doesn't have to be, the stakes don't have to be incredibly high all the time. And what you do with that in your own mind can sometimes make things a little more intense than maybe they actually are.
Right. And I think that's important to know. So some of the things that I work with my clients on, you know, again, choice and courage, but you can't change anything until you have awareness. And what I work with some of my clients on is, once you have awareness, like, ooh, I feel bad in this relationship, or I don't like what that person just said, or I don't like that feedback. I love how you say you have a choice to whether you accept and act on that feedback or not. You can reject it. You can ask for different feedback. But once you have awareness, then you can create a different perspective. You can say, how am I coming across to the other person? How do I sound? Is the person hearing me? So once you have awareness and perspective, then you can effectively start creating options or making choice. And it sounds essentially like you're inviting people to do the same thing, where you know what your values are, you know what's important to you, you give yourself clarity and make sure other people have the same clarity, creating some space when you need it, and then really just keep asking for the other person to meet you at the level that you're expecting. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the activities I do in class is a relationship bill of rights, which is where you write out the sentence, in any relationship I am in, there they are again. Is it too loud or is it, can I?
No, you're good.
Okay. In any relationship I am in, I deserve. And then you finish that sentence and you finish it with a bunch of things. In any relationship I am in, I deserve respect. I deserve to feel loved. I can make mistakes. You know, I can be playful. I can change my clothes 5 times before I leave and not be teased about it. You know, whatever the I deserve thing is for you. And that if you list those out, it can be really clear when someone isn't giving you those things in your relationships.
You know, I'm going to tag on to that real quick. You know, you've moved to New York. The city sounds are very obvious, but this is the way my brain works. That siren's coming in for a reason. Right? We're talking about making sure that we're heard, making sure that we're understood, establishing our sovereignty. So my challenge to the listeners right now is anytime you hear a siren, check in with yourself. Check in to see if you have been clear about what you deserve in your relationship. Check in with, are you being clear on your communication? And, you know, I know when I hear a siren, it's like, uh-oh, I hope someone's okay. But maybe they're prevalent in our everyday life. Maybe it's a way that the universe is telling us that there's an audible that is giving us something to stop and ask ourselves a question and ask if we are in alignment with our own goals and our own objectives. How do you feel about that?
I love that, Diane. I love adding cues into your life to remind you to check in. And I think the siren is great because it's I hope everyone's okay. And am I okay? A really easy, like, I hope everyone's okay. I hope I'm okay, but I can actually figure it out and then I can do something about it.
Right. And then following the analogy through, like, if I'm not okay, where do I call for help? Like, who do I bring to my assistance? Who do I bring onto my team? Who is going to care for me? Whether it's my physical health, my emotional health, my spiritual health, my imagery of myself. You know, it's like, if I call 911, I want someone who knows what they're doing and they're looking out for my best interest showing up at the scene, right? I don't really want someone who's like, hey, I hope this looks good on my resume when I save Diane's life, right? So I think that's a good reminder to our listeners. Let's talk a little bit about some of the steps that you do to help create boundaries, or that you teach people how to set some healthy boundaries in their life.
Yeah. So one of the tools I use is the three statements. So the first statement is name it. So what is the person doing? So I'm in a situation where I don't like what's going on. My roommate hasn't done the dishes and I want them to do the dishes. So I'm going to come up to my roommate and I'm going to say, hey, you haven't done the dishes. Clear as day. They have not done the dishes. They cannot argue with me about it. So that's statement number one, the thing that's going on. Statement number two is to frame it, to give it some context. So you haven't done the dishes. It makes me really frustrated and makes me feel like you don't care about me or the space that we share together when you don't do the dishes. And then the last one is to change it, to give a new behavior that you want to see. So you have to come up with what you want to see different. So I don't recommend using the statements unless you know what you want instead, which is that go away, think about it, and come back with what you want instead. I need you to do the dishes by the end of the day is my behavior change in this case. So you're not doing the dishes. It makes me feel like you don't care about me or our shared space when you don't do the dishes. I need you to do the dishes today.
Wow. I just feel like, I feel like empowered and I feel almost chills coming down my body when you say it in that way, that concept of naming it. So being clear about what it is. And as women, we have a tendency to really tell the whole story and the feelings like, oh, I really want to talk to you about something, but I'm not really sure if now is a good time. And this is kind of the masculine energy, right? Where you're like, hey, the dishes didn't get done and it kind of makes me mad. And then I like how you say where you frame it. Like, now that the effect of you not doing what we agreed on makes me feel this way, or this is the consequence, or this is the result. And I like how you just blatantly, you're very pointed in saying, this is what I need. And I think sometimes as women, we kind of shy away from that. We can do the first two steps pretty well, but the third one of saying, this is what needs to happen.
I noticed I didn't say please or could you do the dishes? I said, I need you to do the dishes.
Right.
And it depends on what the relationship is with the person you're talking about, but it's like, you don't want to give any, I think of it as like you have a bubble on top of your head and you don't want anyone to be poking it. So when you make the statement about what they're doing, it hasn't been done. They can't poke it and be like, no, I did some of the dishes. You're like, no, you didn't do the dishes, you know? And then the feeling part is, no, this is my experience. You can't shut it down. And then you don't give them an out in that behavior change. You just get very specific about what you need. And they can then, because it's feedback, right? Do it or not do it. But you've made your statement.
Right. And I think what you're talking about here is you have a great quote about decision-making on your website. And you talk about one way to take out the decision-making process and reclaim the energy that it takes to convince yourself to do something is to make it a habit. And what I'm hearing here is you're inviting people to actually start these little small steps of naming it, framing it, and changing it, even with something simple like doing the dishes, because when we make a habit out of doing that, then it will be easier when we have more complicated, more conflict, more personalized challenges to whatever relationship we have, whether it's in college or in our work environment, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Well, let's jump a little bit. The other quote that you talked about was that you wanted to make sure that you helped people choose their people so that everything was in flow. And what I loved how you said is that just like water returning to the ocean, you know, every person in our life should help us move towards our ambition and our dreams. So one of the things I like to do in the show is I like to just connect the audience a little bit to a nature experience that you might have had. And because I think being in flow is also being connected to nature. And when we can't find the support in our life from people, sometimes we can find it in ourselves when we connect to nature. David, if you want to roll those photos, Alexis, you shared with me a couple pictures. One is the Bridge of the Gods, which is over the Columbia River in the Pacific Northwest. One is Wakulla Creek, Copalis Beach, and Lake Patterson. And I noticed all of them have a water-based theme. So we talk a little bit about what is a kind of a significant story that really forms how you create your boundaries or your sovereignty, and why is it important for people to connect? And we have 3 minutes, just so you know, going fast.
Here we go. I love waterfalls and I love rivers. I love flowing water because every single drop is trying to make its way to the ocean, and it will do anything to get there. And if it gets evaporated along the way, it goes back up into the sky and it rains back down and it has another chance to get to the ocean. And I just love that concept of it's trying to get there. It's trying to get there every drop. And I remind myself by being around moving water that I am trying to get somewhere as well, and that I have a purpose and I have a destination. And sometimes I get diverted by a rock or a log or, you know, or it's a really far way down to the bottom of that bowl when I come over the waterfall. But I'm still on my mission. And even if I do get absorbed into the clouds and have to start over again, I'm still on the mission. And just being around moving water, I'm just reminded of the cleansing aspect of it too, that I can do it however I want. I can change my mind and I have choices, but that there's this guiding force out there.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, we're going to have you on another show. We're going to be doing a live studio audience in the future where we're going to invite people to be able to, after the show, talk to you specifically. Real quick, how can people get a hold of you? How can they work with you? And I know we got 2 minutes, so you can mention your program real quick, and then I'll close us out.
Yeah. So theconfidencesociety.com is the website. The handle for Facebook and Instagram is @confidencesoc. Yeah, and I have another series of a cohort of women who are going off to college. We're starting a series for them in early April, Okay. So if you want to check that out, it'll be up on the website in just a couple weeks.
Will you come back in early April and tell more people about it, and we can get into a little more detail about some of the things that you teach?
I would love that, Diane.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And so, as always, this is Diane McClay, and you can find me on DianeMcClay.com. Our radio show actually launches on the second and fourth Friday of every month, and it's at 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern time. We are super excited at the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group that we are doing something that nobody else is doing, which is creating the opportunity for you to join in on a live audience after each of the radio shows that are featured on the Cornelia Stephanie Media. So stay tuned for that. You can always find out more detail at DianeMcClay.com. As always, you know, I see you and I believe in you, and we are here to empower you to make choices through your life. Thanks for being here. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit DianeMcClay.com.